with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
And as we stand, let us pray. As we gather around your written word and listen for your spoken word, feed us on your living word, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Do please be seated. So for the last few weeks, our gospel readings have come mostly from the middle of Luke, and they will continue to do so for the rest of the summer and for much of the autumn too. So I'd like to do two things this morning. The first is to notice how Luke has arranged and presented what Jesus taught, and how this contributes to his own distinctive portrayal of Jesus. And the second is to reflect on today's particular portion of that teaching and what it might mean for each of us. As many of you will know, most scholars think that the first of the Gospels to be written was the Gospel according to Mark, and that Luke and Matthew both drew on Mark when they composed their own accounts of the life and teaching of Jesus. And this explains why all three of those Gospels have so much in common, both in terms of their overall structure and at the level of many small points of detail. Matthew and Luke each followed Mark's order and structure when they wrote their Gospels, and they stick very closely to it. But Matthew and Luke are both significantly longer than Mark, and one of the reasons for this is that they each include much more of Jesus' teaching than we find in Mark. Some of that additional teaching we find in both Matthew and in Luke together. The Lord's Prayer, the Beatitudes, the parable of the wise and foolish builder with the house on the rock, or the house on the sand. And so the list could go on. But some of that additional teaching we find in only one gospel, in either Matthew or Luke. So only Matthew has the parable of the sheep and the goats. Only Luke has the parable of the good Samaritan and the prodigal son, and so on. And it's not just what those two gospel writers include, but it's the way that they include it. Each gospel writer inserts and arranges Jesus' teaching in a very distinctive way. For Matthew, it comes in five big blocks of teaching, the best known of which is the Sermon on the Mount. So Matthew presents Jesus rather like a new Moses, who goes up the mountain and gives five big blocks of teaching just as Moses gave 5 books of the law. But Luke is quite different. He keeps most of this teaching together in one place, and he presents it in the central part of his gospel, in which he has Jesus and his disciples travel from Galilee to Jerusalem. When Mark told the story of this journey, he only needed one chapter to narrate it. In Matthew's version, 2 chapters are used. But Luke begins the journey in chapter 9 and only finishes it in chapter 19, 10 chapters after his account of the journey began. So Jesus is a travelling prophet who invites his followers to travel with him, and he teaches them as they journey along the way. And so we come to our gospel this morning, in which we find 2 distinct but related parts. In the first, Jesus teaches us about wealth and how we should use it. Unlike many of us, Jesus is not embarrassed to talk about money. And Luke includes a great deal of Jesus' teaching on the subject of wealth and possessions, and about how our attitude to them reveals a great deal about our attitude to God and our attitude to other people. Last Sunday, many of us will have heard the parable of the rich fool who built huge barns in which to store his goods and wealth, only to die unexpectedly before he was able to use them. Doubtless, like many others who hear the parable, we may have thought that we're not like that person, that his level of wealth was on an altogether different scale from ours. But Jesus' teaching in our gospel today, which follows on from that parable, and which is addressed specifically to his disciples, tells those who follow him to sell their possessions and to give alms. And it's a theme to which Luke has Jesus return time and time again in his gospel. Those who have wealth are to share with those who do not. And Jesus sees our attitude to our wealth as a barometer with which to gauge our attitude to God and our attitude to other people. Is our primary concern in amassing money and what it can buy for us? Or do we look beyond our own circumstances, needs and desires to recognise that all that we have is entrusted to us by God, and that we should be generous to others as God is generous to us? I realise, of course, that all of us are in different positions, and that some of us have more disposable resources or income than others. Few of us may feel flush at the end of the month. Some of us may know that we get there only through the generosity of other people, and that even then it can be a struggle. But in global terms, most of us are wealthy. And in British terms, many of us are wealthy too, even though, or perhaps even because, we live in an expensive city like Oxford. So all of us have a responsibility to share our wealth with God and with others. And that responsibility to share includes not only what we might give through church or to church, but what we might give in other ways and places too. And each of us must figure out for ourselves what that might mean in practice for us. How do I use wisely the riches with which I am entrusted, whatever form those riches might take? And how do I respond and relate to the needs of the poor whom I encounter firsthand, or of whom I read or hear in the news. For Jesus says that where our treasure is, there our heart will be. And that treasure in heaven is worth more than treasure on earth, which none of us can take with us, and which we might lose at any time. What do I treasure most? And what does that say about how I relate to God and to other people? Where is my treasure? Where are my priorities? What sort of person am I? And what sort of life should I lead if I am to travel with Jesus and his disciples on the road to Jerusalem, on the way of the cross? And so talk of treasure in heaven provides the point of transition in our gospel this morning, from the issue of how we use our wealth to the question of how we ensure that we are ready for Jesus when he comes to us, in whatever form that coming might take. For being ready for the coming of the Son of Man, says Jesus, means practical action in the present, and availability for service as and when it may be required. So the dominant theme in Jesus' parable about servants waiting for their master to return, and in his saying about the owner of the house, is the need for alert and expectant watchfulness in the present, an awareness of what needs to be done, and being ready to do it when the opportunity arises. For to live in the light of heaven is to open our eyes and ears to the needs of the world, to open our hearts to the lives and needs of others whom we recognize as people like us, people for whom Jesus also gave his life, and whom he invited with us to share at his table. To live in the light of heaven means that we need to open our wallets and our diaries too, that we may be generous and rich towards others, as God is generous and rich towards us.